Good morning. Welcome back, folks. You are listening to the fastest 4 hours in talk radio. We call it Frankly Speaking Radio. And here we are crossing the threshold and heading into the home stretch, the final half of the program. It's Saturday, March 10th, 2007, about a minute past 1 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone. Our special guest this evening is the author of numerous books, including Reich of the Black Sun, the SS Brotherhood of the Bell, the Giza Death Star Trilogy, which includes the Giza Death Star, the Giza Death Star Deployed, and the Giza Death Star Destroyed. Every one of these books is captivating and just full of countless bits of information which build and build and build. And obviously, even with 4 hours at our disposal here this evening, we're not even going to scratch the surface. So I would encourage all of you to pick up these books, read them, process the information, and, you know, you're more than welcome to weigh in with your thoughts. Our phone number, 800-313-9443. And, again, welcome to all of you joining us on shortwave at frequency 3.215. Welcome to all of you listening on the internet at republicbroadcasting.org, as well as franklyspeakingradio.com. On our website there, you'll see a link to the publisher of these incredible books, adventuresunlimitedpress.com. Please welcome the author in question, Joseph P. Farrell. Welcome, sir.
Thanks, Frank. Appreciate it.
Oh, man, it's amazing stuff. We've covered so much already, and as I said, you know, not even close to really offering up a complete picture, which only reading these books can do. But then again, you know, gosh, I mean, you could consistently put out new books, and your research is always going to be ahead of your books themselves, because, you know, right, you're one of those guys who never stops with the research or with the learning. And it's such an incredible and amazing thing to have you here this evening. When we were talking, we left off last hour, we were talking about the secret societies and their influence. So many times we've heard about the pyramid and the connection to these different things. You also would wonder, again, about the capstone. On the back of the $1 bill, the capstone is floating above it. Most people would say that the original capstone for the Great Pyramid was gold and somehow lost. I've heard different theories and whatnot. What are your thoughts?
Well, that's an excellent question. In standard interpretation that people often give of the symbol and what it means, they mean it or take it as a political work that's unfinished.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true. I don't disparage that interpretation, because these symbols that are used in Masonry and Rosicrucians and other societies like that are multi-layered. They're meant to convey several different things at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's certainly one aspect of it, and I think it's a very true one.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another aspect of it that I think that many people miss, and it's very clear in Masonry, particularly when you examine some of the ancient charges that date from the 17th century. In Masonry, you have a society whose goal is to recover some of that lost knowledge. So the missing capstone becomes not only a symbol for a political work that's unfinished, but it becomes a symbol for the recovery of something that has been lost in terms of technology and in terms of science. And it's a very apt symbol, because if we examine the ancient texts that Sitchin uses in his inventory, the capstone is precisely one of those objects that was removed from the Great Pyramid and destroyed.
Mm.
In other words, it formed a component, an essential component that made the weapon work. So the recovery, then, of that capstone means the recovery of that technology.
Wow. Obviously, another break. Folks, please stay with us. We're back in only 3 minutes with our special guest this evening, Joseph Farrell, and, of course, more Frankly Speaking Radio.
Are you concerned about the high price of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page, so you can get an idea of your discount price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, and all prescriptions are covered, and 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate. including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Nice tune for the Chicken Littles out there. Welcome back to the big show, folks. We call it Frankly Speaking Radio. Our good friend Joseph Farrell joining us on the program. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you very much. Let me give out our phone number again, 800-313-9443. And, folks, you know, if you're getting a busy signal, just keep trying, okay, because I imagine that it's going to take a little while to get through, but it's well worth your time to chat with our guests this evening. We left off, we were talking about the capstone.
Right. Well, the capstone, as I mentioned, is one of those objects that in the Sumerian texts that refer to the inventory that was taken of the components of the Great Pyramid, the capstone is one of those objects that was destroyed. And like I mentioned, this is a particularly apt symbol then for the Masonic society's goal of not only preserving but recovering ancient lost wisdom and technology, because this becomes the icon, as it were, of the enormous power that is involved, or was involved, I believe, in the Great Pyramid, and therefore its recovery by any society that would claim to be about that purpose is therefore the icon of what they're really after. It's a recovery of a technology of hegemony and power.
Wow.
And this, you know, if we couple this with the symbolism that's involved in the political aspect of the symbol, then we're dealing almost in a very paradoxical way with exactly what the ancient Sumerian texts indicate about the nature of the war that was fought over these objects, because again, it was the theft of these objects that led to the war.
Wow.
It was the theft of the objects that enabled certain parties within the Sumerian pantheon to wage a tremendously destructive war against other parties. So in other words, this whole symbolism is deeply steeped. It's rooted in these ancient texts, and that to me indicates that these societies, the Rosicrucians, the Freemasons, the Germanen Orden, the Thule Gesellschaft, and all of those societies that midwifed the Nazi Party into existence, these societies knew those texts.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that, you know, the case can be made, and I attempt to make it in all of my books, that this is what they were really about with their projects. They were about trying to recover this technology.
You know, we talk about things like, you know, the symbol on the back of the $1 bill being hidden in plain sight. But like you said, if you look at the dual layers of the symbology of
right.
it, boy, that casts everything in such a greater darkness, I guess.
Well, yes. And you know, Ralph Epperson, one of your guests earlier this week, whose research I'm familiar with, I have his book and part of my bookshelves that I call Conspiracy Alley, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He would no doubt be very familiar with the same thing that I'm going to mention, and that is that, of course, Roosevelt was the one that caused the Great Seal to be put on our $1 bill.
Mm-hmm.
He himself was a Mason.
Mm-hmm.
But Roosevelt was also the sponsor of an expedition by Nicholas Rarick, one of his mystical associates, to return the so-called Chintamani stone to Russia. Now, the Chintamani stone, if we look at esoteric literature, it's one of these power objects or stones that is associated within esoteric lore with tremendous power and supposedly is able to confer power. So in other words, Roosevelt is steeped in this tradition of lost objects of power and stones of power and so on and so forth. Now, whether that means that the stone that is called the Chintamani stone in the Moscow Museum is actually that stone, we don't know. My guess is it's probably not. But at least the tradition is there.
That's amazing.
And we have Roosevelt acting on it. So, you know, all of this is there, and again, it's like you say, it's hidden in plain sight on the back of the $1 bill. You just have to be familiar with the esoteric tradition that it represents to understand what it means.
That is astounding.
Yeah, it really is.
Okay.
It really, really is.
Wow. Would you like to go to phone calls?
Sure, that's fine.
Let's do it. 800-313-9443. Brenda in Illinois, welcome to the program.
Hello, Frank.
How are you?
I'm tired, but I started listening to your program, and I said, no, I got to listen to this. Have either one of you ever watched the movie that started the program or the series called Stargate SG-1?
Oh, sure, yes.
Absolutely.
Well, as you started talking, I started thinking, now, wait a minute. If they because the gold ships sat on top of the pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's my understanding that in electrical field, gold makes a very good electrical connection. And,
yes.
Of course, I could be wrong. I'm not an electrician.
Hmm.
The point is that if there was a gold capstone and if there were spaceships that did dock, and this is a big fat what if, also the golds use crystals in all their technology.
Right.
Hmm.
Right.
Everything.
Right.
And now that, but of course, we all know that the TV is used to condition us, you know, brainwash, however
sure.
you want to call
right.
it. So I'm wondering if we're not getting conditioned into, we have to go back into outer space, and they're also always looking for the ancient technology.
Right.
And
well,
I have heard people that I know that have claimed, anyway, that they're involved in witchcraft, that they're always looking for the wisdom of the ancients and
right.
things like that.
Right.
Wow.
And, I mean, if you fit it all together, or, you know, just in case it does fit together, and then also on Stargate, they're getting people accustomed to that you have the golds that are the evil implants in people, and then I forget what the other ones are called, but it's like you have the exact same object that half it's good, half it's bad.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Just like people say there's white witchcraft and black witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting people accustomed to, well, it's perfectly fine to have this thing inside you.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. That's fantastic, Brenda. We'll let Joseph take it from here. Thank you for that amazing call. I think she's right on point, my friend, because if you think about it, you know, as she said, we even opened it up talking about films, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark and whatnot. So take it from there.
Well, actually, it's interesting that she mentions that program because that's one of my favorite series.
Yeah, it's a great show.
It is. But I think that she is right when we look at the symbolism and so on that's involved in that particular series because, again, we're dealing supposedly with a technology that was found at Giza. And it's a technology that permits instantaneous, more or less, communication with worlds across the galaxy. Now, believe it or not, that is not as far-fetched as it sounds. I go into some rather torturous mathematical exercises in the third Giza Pyramid book that would indicate why this physics is capable of that sort of thing. There are papers now in the physics literature that talk about using these longitudinal waves in the medium precisely for communication because they are not limited by the relativistic speed limit of the speed of light.
Wow.
Now there are some problems that occur along the way, and that is the transmission of information itself. But this has already been done in our physics laboratories. They've already communicated Mozart's 40th symphony at faster-than-light velocities. So, in other words, we're going way beyond just mere photon entanglement already. We are transmitting whole bucket loads of very sophisticated information.
Mm.
Now, it's interesting that she mentions the series in that connection.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that these longitudinal waves, if we go back to my little illustration with the yardstick that began the show,
mm-hmm.
These longitudinal waves would be capable of doing that. In other words, you transmit that pulse on the yardstick, and it's immediately registered at the other end. It does not travel like a sine wave, like a Hertz wave, which is our rope analogy.
Mm-hmm.
So it does not take very long to get there. And in the new book that's coming out, I talk about this communications function at great length because there is a physicist out there that is actually toying with the idea that pulsars are actually some sort of network in this vast galactic communication system. And he's deadly serious. I mean,
wow.
he's not making it up. And he's explaining the technology that would make it work, which incidentally is exactly the same technology that would make these things weaponizable. So in other words, we're still dealing with the same thing. So I think she's dead on target here that these things may be conditioning us to a certain extent to accept certain things. I think she's dead on there. I've not disagreed with her.
Bravo, Brenda. Yeah, fantastic. Well, you know, she mentioned about the gold and the crystals and the ancients as well being referenced.
Right.
I mean, there are still, you know, civilizations that have accomplished amazing things that you know, conventional archaeology would tell you they have no explanation for where they went or why.
Right. Exactly so.
Wow.
And, you know, the first pyramid book devotes a chapter to some of these anomalies, like the Piri Reis map of the coastline of Antarctica that's buried under miles of ice that, you know, some Turkish admiral produces in the 16th century. You know? So, you know, how do we have a Turkish admiral knowing about that?
And what happened to Turkey if they were at that point at one level?
Exactly, you know. So, you know, my guess is that the Turks, when they sacked Constantinople and got a hold of the archives of the Eastern Roman Empire there, that, you know, my guess is that some of those archives contain some of the lost archives of the Library of Alexandria.
Wow.
And, you know, once we say that, then we're really saying that they had access to a treasure trove of information that nobody else had.
Mm.
So, in other words, all of this recovery of lost ancients and ancient wisdom and stuff, that show is, you know, I look at it from a standpoint of someone that studies all of this ancient lore, and I can assure her that show is just chock full of esoteric symbolism.
And to take it sort of on a counterpoint there, if you enjoy Stargate and if you enjoy those types of things, you won't be able to put these books down. And you won't anyway, honestly, because they're captivating. The Giza Death Star deployed and the Giza Death Star destroyed. We'll give out the phone number to order these books and take more calls when we come back in three. Stay with us.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Your life demands long-lasting power for everything. If you want to find the best battery selection at the best prices, then BatteryStation.com is the place for you. Find common or hard-to-find batteries for practically everything, from computer backup units and camcorders to cell phones and wheelchairs. Go to BatteryStation.com for all your battery supply needs. At BatteryStation.com, you'll also discover high-tech LED tactical flashlights for every task, from trusted names like Surefire, Tektite, Gerber, Pelican, and more. BatteryStation.com offers lights featuring super bright, super tough, long-life LED technology. At BatteryStation.com, you'll find tough, crush-proof, waterproof, airtight, hard cases of all sizes from Pelican, Otter, and S3 Extreme. Visit them today, BatteryStation.com. It's all one word, BatteryStation.com. Or call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. Your source for batteries and accessories at very low prices. BatteryStation.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Frank. You're listening to me trip over my phlegm. Welcome. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Will, and our special guest this evening, Joseph Farrell. Welcome back, my friend.
Thank you, Frank. Appreciate it.
Oh, man, I'm enjoying it very much, and so much incredible information. Great, great question there from Brenda. Let's go to Bert in Ohio. Bert, welcome to the show.
Hello, Frank. How you doing?
Doing well, brother. How about yourself?
Doing good. Doing
all right.
Good. I got a couple of questions I just want to ask your guest.
Sure.
I'm seeing like several different like theories weaved in and out of what he's talking about. I'm just trying to get my bearing on it. Concerning the anomalies on Mars and on the Moon, I'm familiar with that and the geometry that's involved, and I've read some of David Flynn's work and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Is your guest, are you familiar with the catastrophic writings of Plato The text is called Timaeus.
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. That'll make it easy. What I'm looking at is when you're referring to like a war that has taken place in the past.
Right.
And taking this writing into consideration, please, sir, while I'm asking this question. So is this like a physical thing that happened? I mean, is there any room for extra dimensionality as far as the gods with the little g that is concerned? Or is this a truly physical thing?
In my opinion, it's both. Because the physics that we're dealing with, first of all, is what Richard Hoagland and others would call hyperdimensional. It can be construed in that way. And if we look at the ancient texts that speak of this war, we are dealing with beings or entities that can and do have a physical manifestation. But if we look at some of those texts, it's also very clear that these beings are also, in some sense, as you would put it, extra-dimensional. So I think we have to get out of the habit that has become part of our modern way of thinking of opposing the technological and physical with what we would probably call the spiritual. Mm. This is not a frame of mind, actually, that would have been even found with the ancient peoples. To them, there is really no opposition between the two. It does not simply be the presence of technology simply doesn't mean that it's perforce not spiritual, and vice versa. The presence of spiritual things does not imply the absence of a technology. It's to them one and the same.
They don't have
our modern worldview that really, you know, only begins to take root in our consciousness in the last two centuries, since the philosophical enlightenment in the 18th century. So it's a very different worldview that they have. So I would not exclude it, no.
Okay, that was okay, and that leads to the next question, because I'm trying to get a feel, because I'm not really familiar with your work.
That's okay.
So I can't really, you know, go too far into it. I'm still trying to find my way here.
Sure.
Okay, so then you agree that there is an extra dimensionality to it as well, ingredient or component.
Sure,
that takes place.
From purely the physics standpoint, there has to be. There has to be.
Right.
And this would indicate, you know, in almost every spiritual tradition that we're familiar with in the West, the Sumerian, the Egyptian, the Christian, the Jewish, and so on, all of these traditions do have very old traditions of life forms that are, for the modern word, extra-dimensional. Or in the medieval term, spiritual or incorporeal. So this is not new at all. And in fact, it's very interesting that in physics, in plasma physics, in the last 30 to 40 years, some physicists believe that plasmas show certain self-organizing signs or symptoms that are very indicative of life.
Wow.
And there's actually been papers published on it. The famous plasma physicist David Bohm actually got out of plasma physics because he was so disturbed by some of the ability of plasmas to self-organize.
Wow.
Yeah, so, you know, and he was Jewish. So, you know, it's nothing that's really new. It's just not talked about that much.
Hmm.
Okay, that's where we're going to go with this. Okay, so, and my next question was going to be, like Frank mentioned earlier mm-hmm. in the program, that, you know, he self-taught himself an instrument.
Right.
But he didn't know proper scales, and he didn't know, and you'd already answered the question, which was going to be, just because you don't know the laws of physics doesn't mean they don't apply. And I was going to ask you how that also fits into where you're going.
Mm.
But you pretty much answered that for me. So, you want me to wait till the break? Or?
Yeah, if you don't mind, that'd
okay,
be great.
Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. Folks, please, bear with us. Only 3 minutes, and then back with more of your questions and more from our incredible guest, Joseph P. Farrell. Get these books. You will not be disappointed.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Are you concerned about the high price of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page so you can get an idea of your discount price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, and all prescriptions are covered. And 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase. WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Love, come quick. Love, come in a hurry.
Glad you're here, folks. The fastest 4 hours in talk radio, and it's a blur this evening. Our guest, Joseph Farrell, welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Frank. Appreciate being here.
Oh, man, I really love to be able to do this, to have the time to be able to have somebody like yourself on who's done so much research and to be able to bounce different theories and concepts off of you and find out how it fits in. Yeah, as do I. Let's get back to Burton, Ohio. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you, Frank.
Sure.
So going back to the catastrophic letter, for lack of better words, that Plato put out called Timaeus between the Egyptian priest and the the Greek, there's several references. I'm going by memory here, so I'm sorry if I'm
That's
off
okay.
a little bit.
So am I.
Yeah, because I haven't messed that in years. But there's a part where he refers to like the old tradition as being like a science that ends with the age. My whole thing, or the way I look at that as being, is like, you know, technology reaches a certain point to where it implodes upon itself.
Right.
Okay, and which results in being the father that's yoked to the chariot. Man, I wish I had those notes in front of me. Taken out by a thunderbolt of lightning.
Right.
So is that sort of like a parallel where you're going with the ancient war that may or may not have taken place and then it repeating itself again type of scenario? Is that what we're looking at now, and we're seeing relics of that in the past?
Well, let me kind of unpack that. In a way, it is, because in the first of the Giza Death Star books, I talk about Plato rather extensively, mm-hmm. and in the second one as well, because what I believe the Critias and the Timaeus are very carefully constructed allegories that encode some of this lost physics, and without getting into the details, just trust me, they are definitely there in the books. For example, I can give you one example that the structure of Atlantis that Plato mentions and the specific dimensions he gives for it, if you chart it, you end up with the stationary wave profile of a proton.
Oh.
Now, and that is there in the Giza Death Star. Huh. So in other words, it's a partially encoded quantum mechanics, but there's a lot more to it than just that. It's very, very carefully done by Plato. So he is, in my opinion, definitely the recipient of some lost esoteric science and tradition, and he himself states that in both of those dialogues. Now, concerning the cyclic nature, are we heading there again? Well, one of the things I'm trying to point out in these books is that we are now recovering the basic outlines of the physics that I believe made these monstrously destructive weapons possible. And I think we've basically been in the process of recovering them since the work of Nikola Tesla and some of the work of the Nazis that was continued by the Soviet Union after the war. So, yes, I'm trying to put out a warning that, you know, all is not jonquils and daisies with this ancient stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. That did answer it. Because that's, I mean, because what you were saying was making me think of that writing. That's why I called in.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I just want to close. I don't want to hold up the lines anymore. Impossible. Concerning, you know, I'm barely even an amateur when it comes to researching text, but I do enjoy reading it a lot, the ancient text. My only view is, you know, there are parts of that I've read Zachariah Sitchin and Richard Hoagland,
right,
and they've done some phenomenal things, but they've also went like this far right or far left from my understanding personally from what I'm reading. So just in the area of the linguist skills as far as like the Hebrew and the Greek goes.
Right.
Because, I mean, I can actually go in and I can say, okay, well, he got that one wrong or he got that one right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so my whole point of bringing that up is that when you do approach the ancient text, it's, you know, there are some that are going to give you some extraordinary knowledge,
mm-hmm.
but I kind of personally feel there's also ancient texts that are also in existence as well that are sinister in nature to do the opposite of what, you know, one that is extraordinary or really, you know, lifts someone's mindset up or knowledge up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is precisely my point, is that, you know, my books are chock full of ancient texts.
Mm-hmm.
The new one is almost exclusively devoted to them.
Yeah.
And my own opinion is precisely the same as yours, that there are some sinister texts. And in fact, that's really kind of the moral intention that I have in writing these books, because I am trying to alert people that this is not a Disneyland wonder world that we're dealing with way back when. It's not a world of warm fuzzies. That there is a spiritual and moral side to this that is very, very dark and very, very sinister. So I would agree with you. As for Hebrew and Greek and so on, well, I read those languages too, and have difficulty at some points with certain of Sitchin's translations. But when I use ancient texts, I am using English translations that are put out and accepted by the academic community. In other words, I am not construing my own translations. I'm simply relying on translations that others accept.
Mm-hmm.
And I do that for the precise purpose of heading off any objection based on translation.
Mm-hmm.
I am using texts that they've already accepted, and translations that they've already accepted, and simply pulling out or comparing what those texts say with some of these modern physical theories.
Excellent stuff.
Hey, I wasn't even suggesting that at all. I was just pointing out that you there's a bunch of knockoff.
Sure,
you know,
I understand.
And I'm
that.
Not, and I mean, I've read them. I've got a shelf over here of, you know, people who base everything on what this one researcher says,
right,
rather than exploring the actual text themselves.
No, I don't do that.
Yeah, I'm not saying that you do,
yeah,
but I'm just, and I kind of, And with that in mind, the ancient texts, you know, have repeated themselves too back in the times
right.
where people would base, you know, say for instance the four Gospels
right.
back then, you know, they would rewrite them and it'd be over here and there would be variances and then just it kept on going down
right.
the line.
Sure.
And that was the only reason that I was trying to bring that point up and how have you ever researched that aspect? I mean, because like the closer you get where you can start breaking it down, who was the original person to come up with that actual idea or concept or theory, whatever you call it,
right.
is where you're going to find the answers, correct?
Well, you're opening a whole can of worms there.
Yeah, I know, man. I just had to ask.
Let me just put it this way. You know, my academic background is in patristics and ancient texts, and I'm very familiar with biblical criticism. That was my first degree, is in biblical studies, so I know all these theories that you're talking about out there. I don't happen to subscribe to the bulk of them for very long and complicated theological reasons. It probably would take up another show. But as far as manuscript and textual variations with some of these Sumerian texts, I'm also familiar with those, and I do point those out in the new book. So I'm trying to steer away from translation issues by using texts that are and translations that are not in dispute. So in other words, even though I reference Zechariah Sitchin in my pyramid books, I do not rely on his translations ultimately because I realize that many people have problems with them.
Yeah.
And that's particularly true in this new book that's coming out now. I totally avoid Sitchin's translations. I use translations that are put out by Oxford and Harvard academics, as a matter of fact.
I think the beauty of it, and Bert, if you read these, I think you'll love them, absolutely. But the beauty of what you're doing, Joseph, is what I try to do on the show, is, as well as many other people who have such a solid researcher background, and I'm not putting myself in that category, but what I'm saying is that when I pull news stories, there are news stories that everyone can access. And what
right.
you're saying is that in order to head off some of these issues and to gear this towards solid proof from
right.
those skeptics who would pull from those sources to dispute you, you pull right from them and say, here you go.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's fantastic. Bert, thank you so much for the call. Fantastic. Oh, did you have more?
Thank you. I'm going to go ahead and get a hold of some of them books. You need to throw out that number some for me there, partner.
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, let's give out the number, Joseph. It's on our website, I believe,
sure.
as well, at franklyspeakingradio.com. If you look under tonight's guest, Joseph P. Farrell, you'll see the website for Adventures Unlimited Press, as well as the phone number. But go ahead and give that out for those who don't have Internet access.
Right. The publisher is Adventures Unlimited. It's 1-800-718-4514, and their website is www.adventuresunlimitedpress.com. That's all one word. And if they call, it's best to call during business hours. It is a 24-hour line, but I don't want to wake anybody up there in Illinois.
They'll blame you.
Probably asleep.
You might get the book bent up and urinated upon or something. Thanks for the call, Bert. Excellent stuff. Just to kind of take it a little further, and I don't want to eat up too much time either because we got a lot of people on in the queue here.
Sure.
But what I think, just as an addendum to what Bert was saying there, I've read a bunch of, and like you were saying, you know, pulling from all these different sources. You know, I've collected bits and pieces from every guest I've ever had on the show to kind of
right.
come up with my basis for belief and different things like that. And, my concept is if you think about just the simplicity of it, if you were to, let's say, take a, like an iPod or something and go back, you know, 200 years, I mean, they view you as a god.
Sure.
You know, so you think about that. Technology is equated right then and there with spirituality on a certain level. So
right.
it does make sense that if you think about this in terms of fallen angels and technological innovations coming from God, in essence, it's nothing to them, but to us it would be like high technology and therefore equals
exactly.
spirituality. So there's so much to all this.
Right.
Let's go to Paul in Ohio. Paul, welcome to the program.
Did you read up Bela Cosby, Worlds in Collision?
Yes, I have.
And,
many years ago, I read that.
Where in India is the place with the bodies melted in? And are they large people of large stature?
Good question.
Yeah.
The place
like the Rephaim.
The place is called Mohenjo-Daro.
Close to Madras, Bombay, Calcutta.
And no, it would be between Karachi in Pakistan and Bombay, and then if you can kind of go to that area and then think in your mind, go up the Indus Valley a bit.
Okay, some of these people from that other dimension described themselves when they were cast out as being burned, and their eyes were sunken deep,
right,
and they were covered with gross hair,
right.
And there's many, many times that they were described like that. And also, in Solomon's time, Saturn was lit up, wasn't it?
Yes, and it's interesting that you mentioned Saturn, because I devote a considerable amount of discussion to Saturn in the new book. Because
I'll give you some inside information.
The
Masons have supposedly a nuclear payload in orbit around Saturn.
Yes.
And I called the library to see what compromises the atmosphere. It's 75% hydrogen, 25 or 20-something helium, and the rest of the other stuff.
Right.
And they're going to light it up when the time's right.
Wow.
And also, Daddy Bush was going to set a gold cap on the pyramid.
I remember hearing about that.
Yes, I do too.
And they supposedly canceled it for some reason.
Yeah.
The time wasn't right.
Mm.
All this is timing with those people.
Yeah.
When they reach the 19th degree, they know it's Luciferian worship.
Yeah.
You know, like the Lucent technologies.
Right, right.
Luciferian technologies.
Right.
And Mars supposedly did menace Earth from time to time, and giant lightning bolts did jump between the two planets.
Yeah.
And how many, has there been any archaeological expedition to the pyramids in South America? I think there's 8 or 10 of them in a row.
That is an interesting question. I have heard of some attempts to reach them, and have heard off and on of attempts to photograph them by various satellite technologies. I am not aware of what came of any of those expeditions. My suspicion is that they did photograph them, and that they've been classified or covered up or something. Expeditions to some of those other pyramids, you know, the focus of my book is strictly on Giza and strictly on the Great Pyramid. But,
right.
but when
the geographical center of the world, right?
Yeah, there is a considerable amount of evidence to suggest that the ancient prime meridian ran right through Giza.
Have you read The Waters Above by Joseph Dillo?
I've heard of it. I have not read it.
That is quite a book for your research.
I will jot it down.
by Joseph Dillo. It's called
okay.
Waters Above. Resonant frequencies, what do you know about those? Is that like close to VLF or anything?
Well, the whole physics that I'm talking about is actually based on phenomenon of resonance.
Mm-hmm.
Although the kind of resonance here, again, that we're concerned with are resonances to these longitudinal waves in the medium, which is quite a bit different than what we're talking about with normal electromagnetic resonance with Hertz waves.
Well, Tesla said that he could shake the Earth to pieces with VLF.
And this is precisely the same type of physics I'm talking about. It's my opinion that Tesla was really the one that kind of discovered this physics or this phenomenon.
Rediscovered.
And I don't think that he ever really fully published what he knew about it. That's my impression.
Did he find a stargate and when he met them people from his diaries?
No, I don't think so. However, I do think that he discovered so many anomalous things that he cryptically alluded to from time to time in his published articles. One of the things that he mentioned at one point was that he had received radio signals from Mars and so on. And, of course, everybody thought he was kooky.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think a man of that caliber is given to flights of fancy.
Okay, when the German archaeology crew went up there with that camera and they ran it up those little chambers.
Right.
They came into that room and they partially opened door with the copper rings on it.
Right.
They said that's when they pulled the Germans out of there because they would have to completely redate the Bronze Age.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's so many things about that little episode. The one to talk about that at great length would be Chris Dunn because he has quite a lot to say about all of that.
Shamanism. How does that play into these finding out this underworld next dimension?
Well, I don't talk about it in that much because it really doesn't enter into what I'm talking about in the pyramid books. Okay. However, it does enter into in a very peculiar way, and the way, again, is via the physics, believe it or not. It enters into a very peculiar way in my discussion of the Tablets of Destinies and what I thought they are.
What do you think? How does that, the Orion constellation fit into, when you lay it down, the map of the constellation over the 73 pyramids, it perfectly fits.
Right.
It's like a map.
Wow. Very, very interesting.
And my last question is...
Quickly.
Is there a Burger King in Queen Maudland?
Is there a what? I didn't understand. I didn't hear him.
A Burger King where?
In Queen Maudland. That's the place.
Thank you.
The Piri Reis map.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to have Joseph explain that one to me.
Well,
Paul,
thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. Appreciate the call. okay. As we head into the bottom of the third hour here, folks, we've got to knock out this break. We'll come right back with our special guest this evening, Joseph P. Farrell, and, of course, your phone calls. Please stay with us.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and, of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Are you concerned about the high price of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page so you can get an idea of your discount price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, and all prescriptions are covered. And 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.rxdrugcard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Attention, attention everyone, a brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
The sun in his jealous sky as we walk in fields of gold.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, friends and foes. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, tail end of our third hour. Joseph P. Farrell is with us, has been with us, and has been dazzling us. Welcome back, sir.
Oh, thanks, Frank. Fun to be here.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're doing fantastic. Just trying to squeeze in or be... Oh, explain to me what he was talking about, Burger King.
Well, Queen Maud Land is that area that the Nazi expedition went to Antarctica, right. Neuschwabenland. So I think probably that's what he was referring to.
I see. Okay. Well, I don't know what the German variant of Burger King is, but I'd be afraid to eat that.
Worse is beer rock.
Okay. Oh, man. All right. Well, let's keep going with the calls, folks. Our phone number, 800-313-9443. Toll-free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. If you want to ensure your place in line, I would urge you to jump in line now as we head into the final hour. Let's go to Henry in Connecticut. Henry, welcome to the show.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, hi. I have a couple of questions.
Okay.
One is this. What book or what text described to you the colors of the flag of Atlantis? Since you said that the German
right.
flag of Germany was red, white, and
oh,
gold.
Okay.
Red,
right.
white, and black.
Right. You have to, you can't, it's not really a book. You have to kind of dig into esoteric lore and so on and so forth. If you go back to ancient Egypt, the upper and lower kingdoms symbolized red and black and so on and so forth. And when you piece all the pieces together, and there's quite a few of them actually, you end up with red, white, and black as being these Atlantean colors. And I've always thought it kind of interesting that the German flag, the Weimar Republic, and then later the Nazis would have those three colors, because the Nazis were, of course, very, very interested in Atlantology and things of concerning lost civilizations and so on. It's not one particular text. The best place probably to start, or the book to start, to study these things is a little book by Manly Hall, who's a famous esotericist. It's called The Secret Teachings of All Ages. And it's a book that is just, if you buy the original edition, it's just chock full of very esoteric and occult-like diagrams and so on. There's a reader's version out, too, that's probably easier for most people to read, and that's a place to start.
Okay. And the other thing is this. You gave different ancient stories of, different ancient stories of a war with the gods. What
right.
particular Norse or ancient Scandinavian or Northern European text or book or something that describes this, let's say in its original form?
Well, there's the Edda, of course, and if you get into Norse mythology, what the story that you're looking for partially concerns the Norse version of Armageddon, which is called Ragnarok. There are various Finnish versions of it, so the text just kind of start in Norse or Scandinavian exploration would be the Edda. But there are many, many Norse texts and so on. And once you get into it, you'll find that they kind of dovetail a bit with some ancient Celtic mythology as well. So, you know, once you start in this stuff, you'll find the connections just start leading you almost everywhere, because you'll start reading different cultures, or this culture will lead to that one and so on.
Okay, well, all right. All right, I hear the music going.
Okay. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back after we pause for a brief station identification. Then heading into the final hour of the show. Again, if you want to weigh in with your thoughts, ask your questions, feel free, 800-313-9443. We'll give out the number to order these books here in the next hour as well. Our special guest this evening, Joseph Farrell. More Frankly Speaking Radio on the way.